Welcome to the podcast. I'm designer Dave Say.
I am photographer Sid Caesar.
See, I did the whole clipping thing too.
Who did?
Because I was like, welcome to the podcast.
Ha ha.
That totally clipped. Anyway.
Welcome to the Clipcast.
Clipcast. Clip, 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 clip. December 7th.
Monday.
2015th. Monday. We weren't even going to do one today, but managed to eke out some time between jackhammerings going on in the new Broad Street Parkway that should be coming online later this year.
I think it's just about done. Like, the road is done. They're just doing all the little side road embellishments now, like taking care of the parking spaces. And we've got the parking lot is out there. It's kind of interesting. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's new. They've added new parking spots and stuff.
Yeah,
it's kind of interesting. It's going to be interesting to see. I don't know if they're going to put like lights, like intersection lights here or not, because it's going to be a cluster. If they get as much traffic as they want, people trying to get out of Clock Tower onto this road and out of the Mill Yard Annex over here, I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm hoping they'll put in like stoplights or something, because otherwise it's just going to be a mess.
Yeah, that left turn up there by the Pine Street and whatever that other cross street is. Yeah, it's going to be a mess. I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Yes.
But I wonder if it'll be faster for me to come down here from where I am. Of course, you'll be moving out of here.
I know. Yeah, we won't be here to see how it
put
all.
This thing in and now
but yeah,
like,
it's, oh, it gets nice. On right next to Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
So you would just come by Starbucks and then take a left right after you go over the bridge.
That's
and
right. That's
boom,
right.
You'll be like, you'd be right here.
Yeah.
I
heard that Dairy Queen's going away.
Yes, it's going to turn into a Dunkin' Donuts.
That's horrible.
Another one.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've got plenty of Dunkin' Donuts. We don't have. Yeah, we only have the one Dairy Queen.
Like 27 Dunkin' Donuts in Nashua or something.
What?
Like that.
Really?
They purposely space them so you buy something, and if you drink it in your car, the minute you get to the end of it, you look up, there's another Dunkin' Donuts. It's just this endless cycle. That's how I would do it. I would need one like every 4 feet because I just chug that stuff down.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
Nothing. Kitties.
Oh, you got kitties.
We got
how many kitties did you get?
We got two kitties. We picked them up yesterday.
Yep.
We got a little boy and a little girl. They're kittens. They're kittes.
Yep.
And they're adorable. I'm just a cat. I'm a cat person. I had my previous two cats, Grommet and Yoshi. They lived to be 16 and 18.
Wow.
We just lost Yoshi a couple months ago. So it's still kind of... I mean, those two cats were like... I got them when I was like 22, and I'm 40 now.
Yeah.
So it took a little while, but I kept thinking, do I really want cats? Because like I wasn't ready. I just felt I was like, my cats are gonna look down at me and like get mad that I'm getting another cat. No. You know what? They would want me to have other cats and love them just as much as I did. So Sarah waited until I was ready, and I was just kind of looking around, and I found these two little dingalings online, and they're from Florida.
Florida.
Yep. There's a place called Darbster Kitty based out of Florida, and they have a Manchester, New Hampshire branch.
Huh.
Evidently, in Florida, they don't have no-kill shelters.
Oh, yeah.
So there's just thousands of animals that they gas or whatever they do down there.
Yeah.
And so this branch in Manchester, like on a weekly, every week, they're just getting tons of kittens that they just shoot up here and they find adoptive parents.
Huh.
So I saw these two little dinglings, and one's a little boy, and we named him Jonesy. And that is the name of the cat from the first Alien movie.
Right.
Jonesy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the second one is a little girl. She's a week younger than Jonesy, and we've named her Migs.
Yeah.
And a Mig is a Russian attack plane.
Yeah, the MiG-15 was famous during the Korean War.
Yes. And so we named her Migs only because there's been a run-on joke. The very first time we saw Air Force One, Sarah and I watched it together, there's a scene where the plane's flying and there's a bunch of Russian Migs coming up behind him.
Yeah.
And he was just like, we have Migs on the radar. And he's like, did he say Migs? And Sarah just thought that was really funny for some reason. And then throughout different movies, every once in a while they'll mention a Mig.
Yeah,
or they mention Migs and then they mention Interpol. So Sarah's just like, and I'm like, we're not going to have a cat named Interpol. So she just thought it would be really funny. She's like, it would be really funny if we just had a cat named Migs because it's kind of works.
It has a kind of cute quality to
Migs.
It. And
it does. It sounds like mittens. Like yeah, Migs. So we started a list. I always thought it would be really funny, but to have a cat named Abner Ravenwood, which is a Indiana Jones character.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that has the little staff of Ra that Indiana Jones is looking for. And I just thought it was, funny, because then you could make like a little tiny staff of Ra and you could wear it on its thingy around its neck. And then every year we could like write Christmas cards, because there's at the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark, there's this whole thing where they intercept this, the Nazis intercept this thing, and it just says Tannis development proceeding, staff of Ra, Abner Ravenwood, U.S. And I was just like, it'd be awesome. Could, like every Christmas, we can make cards that would just say, like, Christmas development proceeding, staff of Ra, Abner Ravenwood.
See,
meow.
I would have gone on a litter box and I would have inscribed all that stuff around the edge of it, and then the like little, make a little staff of Ra and plant it in the sand and put it when the sun would hit it just the right moment. It would mark the spot where the digging should happen.
Yes. And then I could always walk around in my best Indiana Jones voice and be like, where's Abner? But I was like, no. Yeah. So we decided on Jones and Megs. Jonesy and Megs. And I think they fit.
Yeah.
I think they fit. And but I just, the claws. I just, the other two I had. The claws. There's so many claws. And they just climb up my pant legs, and they climb and they climb and they tear.
And you're allergic too. So
and I am allergic to cats. This is, I know. I just came from the vet and I told the woman I was allergic, and she just looked at me like I was a complete idiot.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't help it. I'm a cat person. This is the cross I have to bear. Like, I love cats, but I'm allergic to them.
Yep.
So we got to figure out this whole claw thing, because every time they scratch me now, I break out in welts and I have these allergic hives. So we got to deal with that. But they're amazing, and they're little, and they're so tiny, and they're little meows, and they're just, they're crazy, and all they do, I forgot that all basically kittens do is just run, 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 play, 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 and then they sleep, and then they run, 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 run. So they're just, I left them today, and they were just back and forth. Yeah. The neighbor downstairs was like, I kind of figured out you had something going on, because she's like, I just hear these little tiny pitter-pattering feet just running the length of the house back and forth, and then like flop, because they wrestle.
Yeah.
That's it. It's cats. I feel better now because I have cats.
Yeah. I mean, how can you not feel better?
It just fills that hole that I had when Yoshi died. Yeah. Just that you come home and they're just like, ah, only now they climb up my pant legs.
Right.
But they're amazing. Yeah. And I love them. So, animals. Yay.
Good for you.
Yes.
I'm glad that you've made this addition.
Yes. Can't help it. Oh, and then we've been meeting with we met with a housing financial planner.
Oh, how'd that go?
It went really well. We found out that both of our credit is like through the roof. Yes, we have exceptional credit, both of us.
Nice.
And so we just sat down with this guy and he went through our taxes and he basically said, this is roughly what he's like. Luckily, you have the kind of credit where he gave us sort of this is basically where you want to be house-wise, price-wise. And it's not really high, but it's a little higher than we thought.
Yeah.
And he was like, you should not have any problem at all going to any one of a number of bank lenders for mortgages. He's like, you both have credit. He's like, they can't say no. He's like, this is the kind of credit that they love to see.
Ah, great.
So that's good. So it makes us feel a little bit better as far as now we can actually start looking and we actually kind of know what we've got that we can work with.
Yeah.
Yay. So
that's great. That's great news.
Hopefully we can find something. And like I said, if we can just find something small where either it has a large backyard where I can build something, or there's something I can, you know, like a barn that can be renovated.
That's fine. So when are you going to start looking?
We're passively looking now. The big thing I need to do a little research about zoning. We've sort of dropped the, like, Sarah works at the Institute in Manchester, so we dropped the pin on the Institute, and then we just sort of did a 20-mile circumference circle.
Yeah.
So anything relatively within there.
Yeah.
I just need to look into zoning and how zoning works for certain towns as far as if I wanted to build basically a big shallow rectangle.
Right.
Which I guess you could kind of say would be like a garage. Because there isn't going to be, you know, like, we'd have to put, like, some sort of a heating thing in there, like maybe a little wood pellet heater or something. So I don't know. I don't know how any of that stuff works. And then I just need to sort of ask around. I mean, I know there are plenty of artists in towns that are outside of like Manchester and Nashua and stuff like that have studios. So I just need to connect with them and figure out how they've done it and how they figure out how they, you know, I don't know, all the logistical junk.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it.
That's exciting.
Yes.
A new phase.
Yes.
Yeah.
A new phase. But it'll be weird. I was telling a friend the other day that, like, one of the things I want to do once this place is empty, whenever we move out, I want to like take a little circular saw or something and just cut a little piece of the floor out and then put it in a frame. Cause it's like, you know, I mean, yeah, it's like,
it's been a long time,
11
here.
Years worth of stuff. And these floors are beautiful. So I need to take something out as a honorarium or whatever.
A piece will probably just fall out by itself.
Yeah. I know. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's been kind of lots of crazy stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
What have you been up to?
How's
your cafe, your home cafe thing going?
When's the last time I talked about it? Since then, I think I talked about getting the new floors, right? When my dad was here. And I think it was a great choice to go with the dark wood, even though people were saying, get the light wood. It'll make the place look bigger. But I think it's, the nice thing about the dark wood is it's, things recede into it, like especially if you have like dark black things, like, you know, computers and stuff like this.
Yep.
It's like this great big inky ocean, so it feels vast in that kind of way.
Yes.
I did get the tables from Darold.
Yes.
And I put them on the commercial table bases, so I've got four of them. They're a little bit lighter of a stain than I think I would have liked, but I can adjust for that by choosing a different color for the wall, I think. Mm-hmm. Originally, I was thinking about a very light blue, almost like kind of an off-white or like a very, very light cream.
Yeah.
But, you know, now seeing these tables, I think actually going with a darker wall would be better. You know, kind of like a similar theory. With the floor. But it's, if the walls are brighter, I don't think it will work as well if I made the space seem more cozy than with spotlight. So it'll seem like you're more enclosed. But I'm finding that the interesting thing about the space is like where the lights are going. You know, one thing that I did do was I had this track lighting that was on the ceiling above where the dining table used to be.
Yep.
That's been replaced by two of the tables that Darold me just put together side by side. So I spun it 90 degrees. I had to pull out all the things and stick them up there, so the track now runs more lengthwise with the space.
Yep.
And that means I can put more table up and down lengthwise, which doesn't split up the space as badly as before.
Yep.
But I also like was able to find additional heads for it. You can't buy them at Home Depot anymore, but they're made by Home Depot's brand. Hampton Bay, I think, is their brand for their internal stuff, and so you can order that stuff online. So I added three more heads since they're on they're all LED now, so I can actually put a lot more lights on them and use less electricity still. So doing that and having them shine down, like the whole side lights up now. Oh. And it's like, it's actually pretty cool. It works pretty well. And it seems to be improving my usual kind of bout of, you know, seasonal depression.
Yeah.
Like it's dark, it's cold. It's, you know. And I've noticed, like, in the past few days, I haven't been feeling that since putting those lights in. It's so, like, because you turn them on at night, and it's, like, bright!
Yep.
And it's all contained on one side of the room, so it doesn't bother the computer stuff that I'm doing.
Right.
And I'm still trying to figure out this other light stuff. So that's really, you know, with that, plus the sectional chairs that came in, I think they came in before I left, so I think I talked about them. Those worked out really well. I split them in from the couch into the two separate chairs.
Yep.
So it makes a little nook now, which we're going to try doing the podcast at sometime.
Oh, right.
We have the two microphones. It'll be like fireside chat with Sid and Dave or something like that.
Writers on a New England stage.
Yeah. And actually, it would help with the video setup too, because you could get full coverage of us both sitting.
Right.
You
know, yeah.
And we could have little cups of coffee and like treats. I don't know. But that's what's going on with that. So the space is working out well. I think technically it could do a soft open at some point. I think the last major finishing touch is just painting the walls and picking a color for them.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like kind of a slate gray, slate with a blue tinge to it.
Hmm.
Not as dark as the floor, but you know, maybe, you know, quite a bit darker. Just dark enough so it really sets off the orange color of the tables.
Okay.
You know, so they'll be nice and, you know, they'll look, I think, a lot more like a statement rather than just, you know, like it's kind of like the same brightness as the walls and it's kind of not quite the right color.
Huh.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And I think it'll work out well. And then like then real then covering the walls with all these pictures, you know, posters and stuff like this. I think that will help making that make that place look right.
The art.
So that's what's been going on there. It's been actually really comfortable to work in. So it's I've been really kind of happy about it.
Good.
And yeah. Let a break that open at some time. Have something going on there.
Yes, yes.
Oh, and the Thanksgiving, I got to try out all four tables put together to create mega table.
Did it work?
It did. It was huge. It was so much space for stuff. It's big enough, actually, that I think I could get a 30-inch Lazy Susan and put it on there and have, like, you know, Chinese-style banquets.
Just,
on there. So you put all the food, the food spins around.
Yeah.
You know, that would be something. I even have the bearing system, and I'm thinking of going to the restaurant supply store up in Manchester and seeing if they have like your 30-inch table rounds or something like this. Put it on that thing. See how that goes. I do need to get a bunch of stuff there too, like napkin dispensers, the diner style napkin dispensers, and you know, stuff like that. I may have to buy new like silverware too. Like I got the silverware that had really heavy handles, really feel great in the hand. But every time you pick up that plate and move, they fly off.
Do they really?
It really sucks.
Huh.
So getting some cheap like flatware from the restaurant supply store would be the way to go. I think.
Funny.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
I'm turning your downstairs into a.
Yeah, the next thing is I need to clean out the basement and reclaim that. It's just full of stuff.
Yeah,
I need to get rid of some stuff. Or
yeah, I remember it being a little.
Yeah, I need a new shelf system too. And I started putting up the old shelves, but they just look terrible.
Yeah,
yeah.
The old bookshelves.
The old bookshelves.
Oh,
yeah. I need to get something that's more enclosed, I think, and maybe something that's a little bit more suitable for a variety of different things.
Yeah.
I don't need to have all the books up there, which is kind of how it was before.
Yeah.
I need to have some though, and I need to have some place for storing things.
Okay.
So that's really what I'm looking at. So I had to do an IKEA run and see what they do. But it's been really hard finding just the right pieces.
Yeah.
You know, even with all the online stuff, you know. So, we'll see.
Mm.
And IKEA changes their lineup every few years, too.
Yeah.
Right now, they don't have anything that seems really suitable from what I could see in the online catalogs.
I remember that there was a place that I bought the CD racks that I have that I've had since the 90s, and it was made by a guy out of Boston, and I can't remember. I thought
thinking of things I want to build now. So I don't know, maybe I need to join Make It Labs. I hear that they're getting close to done with their new renovations.
They're in a new space or something.
They moved somewhere on Caron Street. The city of Nashua is giving them like some sort of really, really good 4-year lease or something like this in exchange for them having to renovate this trashed building.
Okay. Right.
So yeah, I haven't seen it. But yeah, that should be interesting. See how that goes. But yeah, I'm really wanting access to a table saw, a planer, a drill press, a joiner.
What's it cost to be a member?
It's like $50 a month.
Hmm.
Yeah, so.
But you'd rather just buy that stuff, wouldn't you?
Well, like, where would I put it?
Right.
That's the whole thing.
Right.
It'd be great to have, like, a, you know, a table saw, you know, or a drill press. But, you know, that's, you can buy little small ones. So you're going to pay, like, you know, a couple $100 for each one. Or you can buy them used.
Yeah.
Our friend Andrew Ryder, he was telling me that he could just go look on Craigslist. Because people are selling that stuff all the time. They buy a little drill press, and then you know they can't. There's no place for them to put it.
Yep,
and they sell for $80.
Yep,
but then like, where would I put it? That's the thing. If I had a garage or something like that, it'd be great to have my own workshop.
Yeah,
but I'm not at that place right now. I mean, when you make your place, you have room for your workshop.
Just thinking, you know, we could add a little addition on the back, and
you
could make a Dave's workshop there, like Daryl's workshop downstairs.
Yeah, there you go. And go up there and just make things. Then I had to get a truck.
See, it's always. It always starts with one thing and it just turns into a whole list of things that you need.
Yeah. Well, I've been more excited about working on my own projects lately. I think one thing that was bugging me before was just how many things I thought I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to me the other day that, you know, this popped in my mind when I was waking up on a weekend. It's like, it's really hard to do what you love when you're worried about what you're not doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it is,
you know, and so it's distracting from like, I want to do what I love, but oh, I need to be doing this or I had to do this and I had to do this.
Yep.
And a lot of that stuff maybe isn't necessary, you know?
Hmm.
know. So I've been just kind of working on that, trying not to stress out about other things when I'm working on stuff that I know is going to be interesting.
Yes.
And so long as it produces something that I can show to someone, yes. That's really the criteria that I've always found that actually makes a difference in anything in the long term. So, like, for right now, like, I was telling you earlier this, that I was thinking, you know, I haven't really been getting as much, you know, stuff going on with the website lately. And I felt that, you know, actually, if I think about it, probably people don't know what I'm doing anyway because I'm not telling people.
Right.
And because of that, it's kind of like a self reinforcing spiral into, like, less busyness.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't been doing as many forum updates. I haven't even been talking, you know, because I keep thinking I need to do something big and put website. But I think I really need just to do small things and just have a conversation going. You know, kind of like with these podcasts. We don't really have an agenda that we're pushing on it from a business or, nope. You know, even like a creative perspective. But just by doing them, something happens, you know?
Yep.
I'm not sure exactly what's happening, but you know, one day we have 74 of these things now. You know, like we haven't been doing them every week for like, you know,
a little while.
Of people doing so. But you know, this is like 4 or 5 years worth of media training that we've done.
Right.
You know, my diction has improved a little bit. Elise will tell me how much it's improved, but it's improved
listens.
A little bit. I'm less self conscious about pronouncing the ends of my words.
Yeah,
and I'm a little bit more aware that I should do that.
Yeah.
So I think it's helped out. So that's one thing.
Yeah.
And you have 74 of anything. That's something that's, you know,
you
can point at. It becomes part of our shared body of work.
Yes. And we do it just because we like to do it. We don't do it because there's advertising or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I think that's why we can get away with, like, if, like, we had our little lull there, like, it's okay to have that because, you know, real life gets in the way, and sometimes you just can't.
Yeah, it's okay, and in some sense, it's not okay. In a way, yeah, you know, you can disagree with me if this doesn't seem right, but in a way, the commitment to the podcast is a commitment to being publicly creative. That's kind of how I think about
it. I can see that, yeah.
And if we're not publicly creative, or we're not pushing to do that kind of stuff, then we're dying as creative people. We're not creating the connections. We're not sharing our enthusiasm. We're not putting that spirit of being creative people who don't know what they're doing out there. There's people because, you know, there's aspirational things we want to do. There's experiences that we have. There's things that we're interested in. We have no idea how they really will affect someone who's listening to it.
Right.
We're not a mainstream, you know, week by week type thing that's trying to, you know, build an audience so much.
Right.
But there are some people who every once in a while, as they do with our blog content, they come across something we're talking about and it hits them just the right way at that time.
Huh.
You know, I would bet that maybe 5 or 6 people maybe have had that experience with our podcast at least.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would say so. They might have listened to something like, oh, I didn't know that, but there was a cartoon about like girls who were assault rifles. It's like, that sounds awful, but terrible, but weird, and I need to see it. And then they go watch it and says, you know what?
Yes.
I wasted my life, you know, being an accountant.
Yes, so,
no, stuff like that. Or, you know, Brotherhood of the Wolf, you know, I thought that was a terrible movie, but maybe there's something to that. Maybe I need to watch it again.
Yes.
You know, these things like that happen. I mean, if you're in a creative rut, for example, and you just go and do some anything else other than the work that you're doing, do you find a lot of people find that helps, you know, nudge their brain in the right direction just because it's doing something different?
And you never, exactly right. You never know who's going to stumble on something and just take that little facet of whatever and they'd be like, hey, you know what?
Yeah, yeah.
So
the podcast is kind of like that. It's part of the energy that we're putting out. It's part of our, you know, like, okay, I'm a missionary kid, so, you know, like, it's part of our ministry of being creative, of pursuing our creative desires and, you know, putting something out in the world that we think makes a difference.
Yeah.
At least for us.
Yes.
And that's the spirit which we have to be part of, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Slayer!
Devil horns in the air.
Yes! Rocker! Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. So that's what I'm just thinking about those kind of things lately these days. you know, along with the idea of not being so worried about the things I'm not doing.
Yep.
And just working on some things. Because knowing the things that I do make a difference. And it's okay for me to do things that I like, not the things I think that, oh, if I was a real business person, I would be designing 3 lines of stationery for launch to be in the stores by December so-and-so, which I didn't totally do this year and still feel bad about. Oh. But, you know, next year maybe, with this new attitude, you know, it would be nice to be able to spend more time just working on that stuff and putting it out there and just talking about things. Like yesterday, I got this, I was at the Asian market, and they saw this thing I hadn't seen before, which was like a one of those cup of noodle type things in the styrofoam cups.
Yeah.
But it was a cup of chocolate porridge. And I'm going, what? And I said, brought it up to the camera. So is this what I think it is? And it's just, and Joy said, yeah, this is, it's really good. You put it in, wait 5 minutes, and that's chocolate porridge. And so that's the kind of thing that I should be putting on the blog. Yeah, it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be, like, you know, super insightful. Other than there's chocolate porridge in this cup that you can get here. Here's a picture of it. I had it. It was good. I haven't had it yet, so I don't know. But but those kind of conversations as part of the whole kind of creative exploration thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So, like, they all link together somehow. You see the right movie, you see the right thing. If you're just mindful of it and it's something that gets you excited or inspired in some way, it tends to put itself into the work or it tends to define a direction where things go into. And having those insights and then acting on them is something that's important, I think. It's something that I think I've forgotten this whole past year.
Yes.
And so that's kind of what's going on with me, other than all the anime and game playing. You been playing any games lately?
I have. I got a little while ago, I don't remember when the Mad Max game came out, but they were making a Mad Max game for the PlayStation 4. And I did not have a PlayStation 4. And I did not, at the time, I did not really want to get a PlayStation 4 or whatever the new Xbox One, whatever the new generation of video game consoles are.
X-Bone.
And I was happy. Like, I had bought a used PlayStation 3. I had never had a PlayStation 3 during sort of the life of that console.
Yeah.
But I wanted to play The Last of Us. And initially, I wanted it because these guys that made these old PlayStation 2 games, Ico and Shadow of the Colossus, I'm just a big fan of those games and their development team. And originally, they were going to release the next game, which was going to be called The Last Guardian, which is about this little boy in this large animal that I think is like a griffin type thing.
Oh, I remember seeing the screenshots.
It's a puzzle game, and it's like, and it makes sense because the first game was a sort of, you had to handhold this girl and follow her around and lead her out of a castle. And then the second game they made, you ride a horse and you have to basically take down these giants, which is just an incredible game.
Yeah.
So this was a continuation of that sort of thing. And like the development, it's been a development nightmare, I guess. Like, they announced the game in, like, 2007.
Really?
And they're still working on this game. And every couple of years, they keep showing up being like, no, we're still working on it. Like, it's going to happen.
That's cool.
So it's like the definition of vaporware, you know? It's just like, is it ever... So they moved the development from PlayStation 3. Like, they were working on this game the entire time the PlayStation 3 was like, a console. And then PlayStation 4 came out, and they're like, okay, we're going to move it over to PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Anyways, long story short, I kept thinking about that game, and that's a game that I definitely want to have when it comes out, and if it's going to be on the PlayStation 4. And then they were making this Mad Max open world, free roam kind of Grand Theft Auto type game. It was Mad Max.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking about how badly I wanted it. So finally, I went out and I got a Super PlayStation 4. So I got the Mad Max game.
And?
It's pretty good. It was really addicting, and I had to stop.
Really? That good?
Yeah, it was good. I haven't finished it because it's good in that it's this open world game. It's bad in that there are so many little, dumb, minuscule tasks to do. It becomes bloated.
Yeah. Do they seem like stupid tasks?
A lot of it is. It's a lot like of just kind of burning things. Filler stuff, you know, like go here and find this. And yeah. And what happened was there's like, I'm going to just say there's 4 distinct sections of the game.
Single player, or is it?
It's a single player. There's no online at all. And I think, like, the actual campaign, the story mode itself, I think you can get finished probably in like 15 to 20 hours.
Yeah.
In 15 to 20 hours, like, after 15, the first initial 15 to 20 hours I was playing, I was still in that first section. I hadn't unlocked the second section. Yeah. And I was just doing all these little dumb, addictive, remedial things. And that's sort of where I stopped. I finally opened the last section, and then I just, by at that point, I was, my attention was just like,
just finish this.
Yeah. So I want to get back to playing it. It's good.
Huh.
But another thing I got into was this game Destiny, which is made by the people that made Halo, and I had it for the Xbox 360, and it's good, but I lost interest because there really wasn't that much of a story to it, and I just love it because it's just like this particular development team, they just found how to make buttery smooth first person shooters. Like, it's just fun to shoot stuff. And the weapons are cool, and they make different sounds and all this stupid stuff. Yeah. So I fell out of it only because I didn't want to get sucked into their yearly expansions. This is like a 10-year plan game that's supposed to come out.
Yeah.
And I knew at some point I would probably get either a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One, and so I didn't want to get...
Yep.
Like, if I can't keep playing on the 3, whatever. So I stopped, but then I picked it back up for the PlayStation 4, and I got sucked in because now we're into year 2 of Destiny, and things are getting there. They figured out all the... Year 1 was sort of the beta, where they were trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And
so is there a story now?
So there is a story. Hmm. The cool kind of thing that they're doing now is they're doing paid... What do they call it? It's not pay to play, and it's not like you can go and you can buy higher ranks. I don't know what they would call that, like pay to win.
Yeah,
not a pay to win situation. It's basically you can buy emotes for your character, so you can buy different dance moves and stuff like that.
Cosmetics,
and it's different cosmetical upgrades. Yeah. And what they want to do is take that money from the cosmetical upgrades and actually release free DLC throughout the year. So different expansion things. So the people that want to buy, for Halloween they released the Thriller dance, the Michael Jackson Thriller dance. Yeah. So you pay, $2 for that. Whole bunch of people pay $2 for that. All of a sudden, you've got the money that pays for an actual downloadable content, story continuation levels or whatever.
Yeah, that's a cool model. I think they took that model from those multiplayer online battle arenas.
Is that what MOBA is?
Yeah, MOBA.
People have been talking about MOBAs recently, and I'm what does that mean?
Destiny, I guess, is essentially something.
A MOBA?
Well, maybe not. The MOBAs, they grew out of an expansion for... some game that's like Valve did.
Is that Team Fortress?
No, not Team Fortress. So it was this add-on map for some game. What was it called? There's a couple big ones. Like there's League of Legends, I think.
Okay.
And the other one is called the Valve one is, maybe that is. But anyway, the idea of it is like they actually fund their giant, $20 million tournament every year through cosmetic sales that they do.
Okay.
So they get huge amounts of money from this, people just buying things like that.
Yep.
And this uses it to, they fund basically the game, with this thing. So it's
I think it's pretty good. I don't see any, if it doesn't affect leveling up, as long as it's just, if I want a new hat and I can pay $2 for a new hat.
$2 for a new hat.
It's an awesome looking hat. I'm going to pay $2 for a new awesome hat. And you get all these people that pay $2 for their awesome looking hat. And all of a sudden you've got enough money where they can just be okay, here's, in 3 months from now, here's a whole new level or a whole new chapter of the game that you can play for free.
Yeah.
Because all your people want new hats.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice change on that's basically the free-to-play model.
Yeah.
A lot of places, there's a lot of complaints about how people implement free-to-play. One of the worst ones is probably the Star Wars one.
Battlefront?
The Old Republic. No, not Battlefront. Star Wars The Old Republic, their MMORPG.
Yeah.
So you can play the game for free, but it's kind of, they have an approach like GoDaddy does for their web stuff. So you go in there and you can play for free, but then there's all those things that pop up. Oh, you can't do that because if you want to run faster than this, or you want a mount, you should do this, or you want more of these, you need to buy this, or it's
pay to
it's
win.
Constant. It's not paid. Yeah. Well, pay to win, the idea of that is you can't be competitive unless you buy gear. Pay to win is usually about the gear you buy. So if you could buy the best rifle in the game for $15, that's pay to win.
Okay, all right.
But usually games, they try to avoid that. Even though all the people on the internet, they just say everything is to pay to win because they have no money. I can't even play because I have no money. I don't want to pay $5 a month. It should be free. Yeah, go suck it. Get a job.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's cool. I wanted to go back to talk about that development studio that made Ico and those things.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's really interesting about that studio to me, I'm saying this for the benefit of our audience, such as we know that exists, is that they really have been trying to push the envelope between storytelling in a way that goes beyond shooting things or occupying things or puzzling things together.
It's an emotional, you actually get emotionally connected to, you know, in the first one, it's this girl because she basically can't do anything, and you have to, you literally have to grab her by the arm and you bring her places.
Yeah.
And so you're invested. And then in the second one, it's the same thing, only you have this horse that you interact with. And this one looks crazy because it's like they took, it's neat to watch the progression from the games, because they've taken, so you've got this giant animal, which is kind of like the giant Colossus that you have to beat in their second game.
Yeah.
Only they've paired it with the hand-holding or the interaction that you had with the girl from the first game. So you have this giant griffin that you basically have to do puzzles with and you lead around with and stuff. So it's like the giants from the second game, only this time they're your pals.
That's neat.
It looks crazy. And they keep showing it, and it looks, I can't figure out how they're going to do it, because this animal is so large and you're in this castle, and I just don't know how I don't know how it's going to work where you're a little tiny person and you have this large animal, and how are the environment's going to be, but still, it looks amazing.
Yeah. That's probably the part that they're spending a lot of time on. How do you make, because they're doing a lot of novel interaction that hasn't been designed yet.
Yes.
Probably one of the studios that really are kind of pushing on that.
Yeah. And it's all, how do you make this thing act real? How do you make artificial intelligence actually act like an animal?
Yeah.
And move like an animal and detect things like an animal.
So, I think a lot of that stuff can probably be ported to the new platform. So the new platform is largely, kind of graphical upgrades. You can think of it, more memory, more things to do, things like this. But, the essential approach to it can be prototyped anywhere.
Yeah.
So they probably even have, something going on in the background. So I've been really interested in those kind of studios and gameplay elements lately. Actually, I met a bunch of people online through that game I play, Wildstar.
Yeah.
So, we got to be some friends, and we've been talking about just, kind of game design stuff, because when Wildstar went free-to-play in, June or July or something like this, it was great to see the influx of players, but it was a lot of the same mechanics we'd seen before.
Okay.
And so a bunch of us who've gone through this, I was like, what is it that's really missing from this game that's really going to keep us interested in it? And so we were throwing theories back and forth in these various chat rooms that we're now in. And so we started designing games. So we've been taking the observations and building systems out of that. Or we're just starting to do that. So I'm probably going to pick up that Hero Engine license later next year. If you're not familiar with it, it's basically a cloud version of an MMORPG design environment. And this is the same engine that Star Wars The Old Republic is built on.
Yep.
So the interesting thing is, they have a lot of... It's an engine specifically for MMORPGs. Hmm. Massively multiplayer online games. Okay. Not necessarily just role-playing games, but you could be other kinds too. And you can access the engine... You can buy a source code license, which would be really expensive, but you can also use their cloud-based service, and you can design environments using their toolkits. You can script using their scripting language. It actually doesn't look bad from what I've seen. It looks like an interesting combination of object-oriented and procedural languages that's composed server-side. You can integrate with Maya and 3ds Max, or you could use existing assets, and you can collaborate with a team on it for $99 a year.
Oh,
and their model for it is you can then sell the game, or you have people play it and then pay a subscription or something like that.
Yeah.
And the model is they handle transaction and take 30%. Mm-hmm. So what I'm really thinking about using it for is to test out some of these social interactions that I see missing from a lot of these types of games.
Yeah.
How do you create meaning in an online world?
Right,
a lot of the quest systems now, they derive from, I would say, World of Warcraft's quest system, which didn't exist before.
Mm-hmm.
It gave little story points to draw you through the zones and the worlds and things like this. But it's the presentation system itself, very primitive. The modeling of the economy and the politics, very primitive. It's really a bunch of writers getting together and how do we link these plot points together? But it's not so much about how do you create a dynamic, evolving story from elements that will support the notion that every player in the world is special but not unique. The approach that Wildstar takes in its presentation is you basically play the single player game from level 1 to 50,
mm-hmm.
and you're the chosen one.
Okay.
But everyone is the chosen one.
At level 50, everyone, yeah.
And so, but they essentially get a single player experience that they share. But it, and if like if you're role playing, like you can't all be the chosen one. So how do you make a game system that allows like a true sandbox game? Like how do you make a system where everyone can contribute to an overall moving story arc? And a lot of this is inspired perhaps by you know, some of the anime I've been watching lately. Huh. There's a bunch of series that are about players who are in MMORPGs, virtual world MMORPGs. Yep. Like there's the two ones that are kind of popular, other than Hacksign, which I've never finished watching, which was really old school. It was something called Sword Art Online.
Okay.
And so, and in that one, that you know, the, there's a bunch of players connected through a virtual reality interface, but then for some reason they're not able to log out and they're stuck in this game for 2 years. If they get disconnected or killed in the game, they actually die. And so, like, and so you have a bunch of people playing this fantasy game, and then what do they do to make meaning out of this and not, you know, do these things? So it's an interesting kind of social game. A look at a social. You have a bunch of people. It's like Lost, except in an RPG, and everyone's like in playing this video game. The video game of their lives.
They have, there's that new Metal Gear Solid 5 that just came out.
Oh yeah,
they have a thing about. So you have these bases online, and each person, and it's multiplayer, and each person has a base, and you have NPC characters that can inhabit the base, and you can build up and stock on munitions and things. And there's something about nuclear warheads that you can build nukes.
Huh.
Other people playing online can go and attack your base and steal the equipment that you use to make the nukes with.
Yeah.
There's an underlying thing going on in Metal Gear Solid where it's based on it keeps track of how many people currently have built nuclear warheads in the online game. And the makers of the game have said it's like a social experiment because they're saying it is possible that everybody could go and disarm all of the nukes in the game. And if they did, something will happen.
Oh, that's interesting.
So they're trying, and so it's this experiment of who tries to do it and who's purposely making sure that other players can't do it. Like they're actively trying to clear.
Yeah.
And there's websites that you can go to, and it's keeping live track of, and they had like the Xbox One version, like they're down to like there's like just 67 nukes left. That's online. So it's interesting. Like some people are actually like there's people that are actually trying to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting to watch that's like they can physically change the entire universe of the game. It's weird. It's neat.
Yeah. So you know, those are the kind of things I'm interested in. It's like what is it? At a certain point, collecting keys and opening new areas becomes kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Right? And you start to feel like this is a mechanic that's gating me from content, basically. Yeah. This is the kind of like poor interaction that we've had for a long time.
Yeah.
So what can we do to make like these worlds like you know, maybe have some more reflection? They're very, very old games since they had no graphics.
Right.
They had to do the kind of stuff to draw you into their game world.
Yep.
And I guess I'm still interested in it. And then I think the new thing is finding a whole bunch of like your fellow game nerds playing WildStar has kind of reconnected me with a community of people who are really interested in this stuff.
Good.
So that's kind of been a nice unexpected development for this year.
That's good.
But that's been 45 minutes.
Wow.
Talked about video games, basically.
The princess is in another castle.
Yeah. So, what do we have looking forward to next week?
I don't...
Christmas? Is it Christmas yet?
It's almost Christmas.
Have you finished your shopping?
I haven't. Sort of, a little. I don't know. We're playing it cheap this year. There's just not that's a lot of money to play around with.
Yeah. I kind of want to... I don't want to say be cheap, but yeah, I don't really. There's not a whole lot I want for Christmas anymore. Really, it's. I just want to see my sister, and I want to eat some food.
Yes,
and yeah, I kind of like having the tree around, and the cats like smelling it. That's really about it. I guess. The part that I think that's most stressful for me now is just like you know, I'm gonna get people what for. You know that.
Yeah.
But maybe I just have the wrong attitude about it. That you just like look for something, just one nice thing, and just give them away. But because our Christmases tend to be kind of ludicrous because like we like to have lots and lots of little boxes.
Yes.
And I hate wrapping boxes too. I just had to maybe this year I just hire someone to wrap them. Be yeah. Well. So anyway, I'm Dave Say, designer.
I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And this has been the podcast. Oh, I mistimed it. This is when I should have said,
oh.
I'm designer Dave Say.
I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And that's the podcast. We'll see you next time.
See you next week. Yeah.
See, now it fades in.
And,
perfect. Music provided by
Michael Bellar. Visit him at michaelbellar.com. When it gets really loud. Do all your Christmas shopping.
We're going to talk about with your mom. Bag.
Don't do it at the Christmas card. Get next to each other. For Amiibo.
Eggnog is disgusting.
You like eggnog?
No.
Like,
no.
Especially can't have an appetite. We need some sugar. It's like sugar overload.
Talk to you next time.
Yes. Have a good week.
Bye.
We'll see you guys maybe next week, maybe the week after.